Welcome to the Fightful Select Weekender Podcast. Today is Sunday, July 12th, 2020. I'm Steven Jensen. Hope everybody listening had a great week. I'm going to run through the list of topics for today and we'll jump right into it. So right off the bat, we're going to have a recommended show for you, of course, like always on IWTV. Got a recommended free match on YouTube. We have results for New Japan Pro Wrestling's NJPW Cup, as well as Dominion results from, well, technically earlier this morning, but I normally don't cover New Japan on the show, but basically between a lack of other things to talk about, because there's not a whole lot of new wrestling results to cover this week, but of course, you know, I am a fan of New Japan Pro Wrestling, and it's something that there was some big news coming out of these shows, so I'm going to definitely talk about that today. We got Impact Wrestling results, we have 205 Live results, and I have a Being the Elite recap for you of their newest episode called Have a Good Summer. And also, I'm going to mention right off the bat right now, no new content on the National Wrestling Alliance YouTube channel once again this week. That's something I've been covering pretty closely the last few weeks, especially since the departure of Dave Lagana from the company. And I just think it's becoming scarier and scarier as far as the future of the National Wrestling Alliance and how they're going to try to rebound. It is worth noting, though, I watch a lot of YouTube, and I saw and a lot of the videos I've been watching, we're still getting the NWA commercials during the YouTube videos that I watch. So that's interesting to me that they haven't updated their YouTube channel at all. They haven't really been advertising anything to my knowledge. And of course, Dave Lagana, who was a huge part of that company. And of course, him not being a part of that anymore, I expected there to be issues with their YouTube channel, or at least, you know, some sort of changing of the guard. But it's really interesting seeing no new content and no updates. So it is making me a bit worried about the future of the National Wrestling Alliance going forward. But that's something I wanted to mention today, because normally I look forward to either talking about the news of the NWA or, you know, obviously all the YouTube content they usually pump out, and they haven't had any shows. I was looking forward to going to the Crockett Cup here in Atlanta before, you know, everything was canceled and postponed and stuff. So, but yeah, very interesting times for the National Wrestling Alliance right now. As far as the rest of the show, we'll just jump right into it. My recommended show this week on independentwrestling.tv is IWA Mid-South's Unfinished Business. This show took place back in June of this year, on June the 19th to be exact. It was from Indianapolis, Indiana, and these are the matches to expect. We have Braden Lee versus Jake Crist versus Tristan Ramsey versus Brett Havoc. We got Alaya Black versus Ava Lee versus Jody Threat versus Thunder Kitty. Justin Kyle versus Kongo Kong. Sage Phillips versus Slade Porter. Gary J versus Mance Warner. Two guys I'm very, very high on. I talk about Gary J and Mance Warner often on this show. Both guys I think could for sure show up on, really at any, they could really potentially work any independent company in the world at any time, but Mance Warner especially, I definitely see a future for him in a major promotion sooner than later. And Gary J is a guy who definitely has the talent to do it as well. He's somebody who's probably a little less known, but Gary J has had a legendary feud on the indies with Warhorse over the years, and him and Jay Parnell just beat the ever-loving hell out of each other year after year. And yeah, if you haven't seen their feud, it's something I legitimately compare to the kind of feuds I would see, you know, back in like the really early 2000s. Like, I'm actually going to talk about one of those feuds or matches here in just a moment with my recommended matches this week. But examples that come to mind, maybe like Chris Hero and CM Punk going all over the place, wrestling each other all over the world. You had, of course, you know, Kevin Steen versus El Generico as a tag team, and then, of course, them wrestling each other in their crazy feud and that kind of stuff. I really put Gary J and Warhorse in that same type of category. An incredible feud, and a great match here, once again, between Gary J and Mance Warner. We also had Manders versus Trip Cassidy, another two guys I'm really high on. Manders especially right now. He's a guy who's really made his name for himself recently in the kind of like the Southeast region. I know him mainly from his work in the Nashville, Tennessee area, Chattanooga, Tennessee, Atlanta, Georgia, stuff like that. Really, really talented, up-and-coming guy that's, he pretty much gets over everywhere he wrestles, and he's popped up here and there. I believe he did something with GCW not too long ago, if I remember correctly. But Mander's somebody you're definitely going to be seeing more of. I really think he's got a lot of talent. And Trip Cassidy, a guy who I know mainly from his work with the Carnies. He had a really great match against Alley Cat at SUP a few years back. A guy who I know has influenced a lot of people in the areas of wrestling that I'm familiar with the most, mainly once again like Nashville, Chattanooga, Tennessee area, stuff like that. So cool match there between Manders and Trip Cassidy. We have Ricky Shane Page versus Shane Mercer, great stuff there as well. Amazing Maria, Haley J, and Kayla Cassidy versus Zach Griffin, Lincoln Mosley, and Ronnie Roberts in a six-person match. We had Blake Christian take on Michael Elgin. This was really great stuff as well. Blake Christian is somebody who I think is going to be kind of that next wave of independent talent. So you have kind of like the upper echelon right now, where you have guys like that come to mind right off the bat, like Matthew Justice, Warhorse, Kurt Stallion. There's quite a few of them, but that type of level, Mance Warner, people who are ready right now to jump up into any major company and make an impact immediately. Maybe even in Impact Wrestling, ironically enough. But yeah, really talented crop of kind of the next, what I would call the next wave of people that will go into the majors, if you want to put it that way. And then you have the next kind of group where you have guys like Blake Christian, maybe someone like Joshua Bishop, like those kind of guys who I really think once there's a few more spots kind of at the top of the indie food chain available, Blake Christian is going to be one of those guys in that spot. And he's already pretty much there. It's just a matter of basically him main eventing everywhere he goes, which I think will happen very soon. We also had Michael Elgin, who I think is a phenomenal worker, but he was just recently let go from Impact Wrestling. I don't know the full extent of the reasons he was let go, but I do know quite a bit about the initial scandal, if you will, a few years ago, because I am a very big fan of Glory Pro Wrestling, and I've interviewed the people who took over Glory Pro after Michael Elgin had to leave. He founded Glory Pro, and so I know quite a bit about that situation from a lot of the different angles. And it's just one of these things where I don't know if this recent firing from Impact Wrestling had anything to do with anything like that, but I'm interested to know kind of what happened as far as the reasoning and all that stuff. Because I, like I mentioned before, I'm a very big fan of watching Michael Elgin as a wrestler, but I also don't know if there are reasons that I like for sure shouldn't be a fan of him as a human being. That's what I need to figure out. Because I can't support somebody if he's done, like, I just don't know what he's done. I don't know really what's out there and what's true and what isn't at this point, but I don't think it's a good sign. I'll just put it that way, that he was let go from Impact Wrestling. But nonetheless, this all happened before that. This was once again back in June. Good match between Blake Christian and Michael Elgin. We had the IWA Mid-South Tag Team titles on the line. Ace Perry and Dale Patricks versus Kevin Giza and Lucas Jacobs versus Chris Dickinson and KTB versus the PD Express, the team of Logan James and Tyler Matrix versus the Talladega Knights, Hunter Drake and Tyler Franks. Of everybody in this match, the person I probably want to highlight the most is Tyler Matrix. He's a guy that I think has a lot of potential, a lot of talent, kind of in that same group as the Blake Christians and Joshua Bishops of the world, like I was just mentioning before. Logan James is there as well. I think that Matrix just might have a bit more potential, just my personal opinion. And Chris Dickinson was in this match also. He's in that upper echelon along with the guys like I mentioned before, like Mance Warner and Kurt Stallion and those kind of guys. Chris Dickinson could show up on AEW right now, and it wouldn't surprise me. He could show up on Impact Wrestling, it wouldn't surprise me. He could show up in NXT, and it wouldn't surprise me. Chris Dickinson is he's ready, and he's a guy who's fought long and hard for his opportunity. And he's a guy that is really unfortunate. I've mentioned it before on the show, but David Bixenspan wrote a really great article around the time of WrestleMania this year that highlighted multiple people, but Chris Dickinson was heavily highlighted. And he's somebody who is going to have a lot of eyes on him over WrestleMania weekend. in Tampa because he had a lot of matches lined up, a lot of high-profile matches, and obviously everyone's in town, everyone's paying attention, and he could have made a lot of noise. And he's somebody that I still think will get there for sure, but it's going to take him a little longer because of things completely out of his control with the pandemic and all that stuff. So shout out to Chris Dickinson. I think that he's, like I said, it's just a matter of time for him before he's at that next level, wherever that is. And in the main event of this show, we had a Taipei Death Match, Larry D versus Aaron Williams. You don't see the Taipei Death Match often anymore. I want to say the first time I ever heard about one of those was like Axel Rotten or something like that. I could be wrong, but I don't know if they had done it in ECW or like somewhere in Japan or something like beforehand. But I want to say the first time I ever heard of a Taipei Death Match, it was Axel Rotten. So people know what I'm talking about. Let me know in the comments. Hit me up on Twitter at @FightTalk_. Let me know. But nonetheless, that's my recommended show this week on independentwrestling.tv. It is IWA Mid-South's Unfinished Business. It's available right now. Moving on, I just kind of alluded to legendary independent feuds. And this match that I'm recommending this week on YouTube is the start of a trilogy that was one of, if not the best trilogies in wrestling history. It is Ring of Honor's YouTube page is where you want to go find this. It's Samoa Joe versus CM Punk. They have uploaded their first match of their trilogy. And this match happened back in 2004. So, geez, already 15, 16 years ago, I guess. Which is just crazy to think about. But, like I mentioned, they wound up having a trilogy of matches that were just completely iconic. It's too bad we never got to see it in like a WWE on that stage at any point, but maybe not. I mean, I doubt that I don't want to say that they could never top this because I have a lot of faith in CM Punk and Samoa Joe as professional wrestlers, but this match was just fantastic. It was recently uploaded on Ring of Honor's YouTube channel, and I've already watched it. I've already went through and watched it. I mean, I watched it, years ago as well, but right when this uploaded, I was like, all right, I'm watching this. Got to watch this again. And I really, really enjoyed myself. And I won't give any spoilers away or anything if you might be a newer fan that hasn't seen this. So I just highly recommend checking it out, especially if you happen to be a wrestling fan that maybe got into wrestling like really recently, like after CM Punk had maybe left the WWE, and all you've ever heard of is, just heard of CM Punk, but don't really know about his work on the indies and stuff. This is a perfect type of example. And same with Samoa Joe. You might know of Samoa Joe as a commentator on Raw, but in reality, Samoa Joe is one of the best independent wrestlers in history. One of the best wrestlers in general in history, in my opinion, as far as professional wrestling. So, something I really, really, really recommend. This is It is a must-watch match if you're a professional wrestling fan right here. So, once again, go to Ring of Honor's YouTube channel and check out Samoa Joe vs. CM Punk. It is available right now completely for free. Moving on, we have New Japan. So we're going to start off with the results of the New Japan Cup Finals, and then we're going to talk about Dominion. So, as far as the results for the New Japan Cup, we had the Great Bash Heel, which is Makabe and Hanma, defeating Yuya Yoruma and Yota Tsuji. I'm going to have a hard time with some of these names, by the way. Although I know who all these people are. So we have Tenzan and Kojima defeating Hiroki Goto and Gabriel Kidd. I was surprised to see this one because almost every time I watch Goto and like, I feel like almost every time I watch him, he wins. I don't know if it's just because I watch, New Japan occasionally. I used to watch it much more often, but Goto is one of these guys who, like, back when I was really riding the Nakamura train, like, hard, like, back, I'd say I became, like, a big fan of Nakamura's maybe 2 or 3 years before he made his WWE debut, and of course I was aware of him before that, even back when he was wrestling, like, Brock Lesnar and stuff, but he changed significantly over time, and I was a huge fan of Nakamura. And I'll never forget Goto defeating him I had like stayed up all night. It was like, you know, probably 4 or 5 in the morning my time. And I was just staying up to watch Nakamura one night. I can't remember what New Japan show it was. And I remember Goto beating him, and I was just so bummed out. But anyway, just that's just a personal story that I figured I'd share. Goto's just kind of like the guy who always ruined it for me when I was staying up late to watch Nakamura. We had Wato defeating Dookie. Probably saying that one completely wrong. Up next, the Bullet Club. Ishimori and Yujiro Takahashi defeated LIJ, the team of Sonata and Bushi. This is interesting because Bullet Club, as we're going to continue to talk about, has changed significantly in recent years and is significantly in recent days as well. LIJ is an interesting spot, especially Sonata, because Sonata is this guy who I've just felt like, and I know I'm not alone, a lot of longtime viewers of New Japan, we've all been saying, like, when's Sonata's time going to come? Because he has the look, the size, the skill, and everything to where you figure he'd be probably the heavyweight champion by now, if not, you know, years ago. And he's a guy that, you know, I feel like he's just kind of been almost in the same spot year after year after year. Like, each year Wrestle Kingdom comes around, and I feel like, okay, maybe by next Wrestle Kingdom they'll have Sonata in that top spot, and it just never happens. And it looks like they could potentially be going that direction, like right now, based on like the results I'll be telling you soon. But just interesting to see, like, because I feel like if not now, considering what's going to happen, if not now, then when for Sonata? But it's gonna be interesting to watch. After that, Suzuki Gun, the team of Kanemaru, Zack Sabre Jr., Taichi, and El Desperado defeated Tanahashi, Ibushi, Nagata, and Taguchi. A lot of star power in this one. I mean, you got Tanahashi, basically the John Cena of New Japan Pro Wrestling. Ibushi, who it's still surprising to me we haven't seen him in AEW. Like, I know that he's with New Japan. I know his like big goal is to be the IWGP Heavyweight Champion, and I understand all that. But ooh, I feel like everyone kind of missed the boat there. But yeah, Ibushi, one of the most talented wrestlers in the world, and I always loved Zack Sabre Jr. I'm a huge fan of his. Watching him wrestle, I've never been a big Taguchi fan, and it's interesting watching Yuji Nagata still wrestling. The first time I ever saw him wrestle was back in WCW in like probably the mid to late 90s, and I used to play as him on WCW NWO Revenge on the Nintendo 64 as well. But yeah, Zack Sabre Jr., somebody that I'm very, very high on. I really think he could. He could. I mean, the New Japan has done pretty good booking him because they have had him in some really prominent spots, and they continue to, which I really enjoy. And for those of you who may not be familiar with Zack Sabre Jr. for some reason, he's somebody I would highly recommend checking out. And the main event of this show, oh sorry, not the main event. We had one more match before that. We had LIJ, the team of Naito, who, you know, the Intercontinental and the Heavyweight Champion simultaneously. Hiromu Takahashi, who's one of my favorite wrestlers in New Japan. It's really great to see him back after that injury he suffered a couple years, or I guess around over a year or so ago now. But yeah, Takahashi, really, really, really talented. I think that he would be a big star in America as well. I think Takahashi would translate really, really well. And we had Shingo, defeating the team of Chaos, Tomohiro Ishii, Yano, and Sho. So I'm not a Yano fan. I know people love him. I'm not going to sit here and like bash him and tell people that like Yano that they shouldn't. I'm just not a really big fan of his, but I love Tomohiro Ishii and Sho as well. I have been saying for a long time, the team of Sho and Yo, Roppongi 3K. I've always thought that Sho could break out and be a big single star, and I think that that will happen. I could see him climbing the ranks over the future years and maybe even becoming IWGP champion at some point. Ishii's somebody that I feel like they missed the boat on, New Japan, that is. Because Ishii, there's been multiple times throughout the last few years where Ishii was put into a position where he seemed like a really credible threat to win the IWGP Heavyweight title. Because he's pretty much done everything else of note in the company. And he he's like the most believable guy in a company that's very believable. He's one of the most believable guys on the roster as far as the way that he lays stuff in, the way that he sells. I'm a huge, huge, huge fan of Tomohiro Ishii. So I really, really like this match, and I'm a huge fan of Naito as well. Yeah, really interesting results coming up now. So in the finals of this New Japan Cup and the main event of this show, Evil defeated Okada. Evil defeated Okada and won the New Japan Cup. And even more crazily after that, Naito comes out, who of course is a part of LIJ along with Evil. He's the leader of LIJ, and Evil attacks him and joins the Bullet Club. So Evil is now part of the Bullet Club, which is just wild because I know that it's become different in recent years, especially with the additions of like Kenta and stuff like that. But the original Bullet Club idea was like it was like these foreigners. It was Prince Devitt, who we now know as Finn Balor, along with Carl Anderson, and then they recruited, I believe, Bad Luck Fale was the first other person to join. But yeah, it was like this group of foreigners, and now they're adding more and more, Asian talent, which I don't have an issue with. It's just the whole group dynamic has like completely changed over time, which once again I don't necessarily dislike. It's just strange for me to turn on New Japan and see like Kenta and Evil and these kind of guys, and I'm like, oh, okay, well, this just looks way different than it used to. But anyway, Evil, this is, a huge win. And I would say the biggest win of his career, but we have more results to get to. So we'll just move right into that. Dominion 2020. This show happened basically this morning for me here in Eastern Time in the United States of America. It was I don't know what time the show started and ended at, but it was, when I woke up today, there was all these results, and there was one result in particular that was very, very, very interesting to me. So without any further ado, let's talk about Dominion 2020. The show started off with Kojima, Nagata, and Taguchi defeating Gabriel Kidd and the team of Great Bash Heel, Hamna, and Makabe. After that, LIJ, the team of Sonata, Takahashi, and Bushi defeated the team of Yota Tsuji and Chaos, the team of Tomohiro Ishii and Yano. This was good as well. I mean, once again, the thing with Yano is I'm just not a huge fan of comedy wrestling. But I shouldn't say that. I'm a huge fan of Orange Cassidy, and there are things that Colt Cabana does really well, I think. So I don't completely hate it. I shouldn't say that. Nothing like that. But Yano just it just never fits with me. I don't know. Just never fits with me with all the seriousness going on. I get that he's like a total contrast to that, but yeah, just not a huge fan. And I was happy to see, Sonata getting the being on the winning end of this. And I mean, Hiromu Takahashi, like I said, he's a star in any company, I think, wherever he winds up or if he stays in New Japan. This isn't to imply that he's heading anywhere, his contract's up or anything. I have no idea. But like I mentioned before, I think Takahashi is superstar. And Ibushi's solid as well. I wouldn't put him to the same level as the other two, just personally, but he is very good as well. After that, we had Suzuki Gunn defeating Wato Tenzan and Yuya Yuruma. So bad with these names. So bad. Bullet Club, the team of Yujiro Takahashi and Ishimori, defeated the team of Chaos, Okada, and Hirooki Goto. Really good stuff here. I'm a fan of everyone involved in this match. Yujiro Takahashi, I'm not the hugest fan of Yujiro Takahashi, but he's still solid. He's been around forever. I feel like he's been in the Bullet Club forever as well. And Ishimori is somebody who New Japan has definitely positioned as one of their top juniors in the company and a guy who has a lot of talent and who the company is obviously very high on, especially seeing the team of Takahashi and Ishimori defeating the team of Okada and Goto, which I think that's a really, really big win for the Bullet Club there over Chaos. And obviously, nothing more can really be said about Okada. I mean, he's one of the best wrestlers ever. He might be the best IWGP Heavyweight Champion of all time, and that's saying a lot. He's had some of the best matches in wrestling history, especially the stuff against Okada, but really him against anybody on a big stage, it's always incredible. And I've already talked about Goto. He's solid, even though he plays spoiler to a lot of wrestlers that I like. But yeah, huge win for Bullet Club in this one. After that, the Never Openweight Championship on the line, we had Shingo Takagi defeating Sho to retain the title. And I like that they're putting Sho in these singles matches for championships. And like I said, I really think that Sho's day will come sooner than, well, I shouldn't say sooner than later, because I don't know how long it's going to take. New Japan generally really slowly builds their stars. Occasionally we see differences in that, like Jay White got a push like really, really quickly in New Japan, so we have seen that. But Sho, I think Sho's road to championship glory, if you will, it's just gonna be, it's gonna take years, but I'll enjoy the ride, and I think he's super talented. After that, the IWGP Heavyweight Tag Team titles were on the line. We have new champions, Zack Sabre Jr. and Taichi, defeat Tanahashi and Ibushi to win the titles, which just huge win there. I was just mentioning how great Zack Sabre Jr. is. I think this just proves it. Another title, more faith from the New Japan brass in Zack Sabre Jr. and beating two guys, two of the best in the world, Tanahashi and Ibushi. I mean, really, really big win. And I'm interested to see what happens next between Tanahashi and Ibushi, because both guys are main event level guys perennially. I mean, at all times, they could be the main event of any show. And yeah, interested in that one. But huge win there for Suzuki-Gun, becoming the new champions. And speaking of huge wins, in what I would consider a complete shocker, a complete upset, Evil defeated Naito to win the IWGP Intercontinental and the IWGP World Heavyweight Championships. He is the dual champion. After the match, a masked man who had helped Evil win the match turns out to be Dick Togo. And after the match as well, Takahashi came out to make the save for Naito, because everyone was beating up on Naito after the match, after he lost the title. This is just wild. I'm just going to be completely honest. I am not a fan of this personally, but I also don't watch New Japan often enough that this necessarily bothers me. It's just one of these things where, for instance, let's just say I'm really interested in watching a handful of New Japan, like pay-per-view. I guess you call them pay-per-view. I mean, I just do everything through New Japan World, but when Wrestle Kingdom especially comes around, and Evil was the double champion, like if he holds the belt until that point, that doesn't interest me nearly to the same level as someone like Naito, or even if like Ibushi became the champion, I would be very interested in him being the champion in a big show like that. Of course, Okada, even though he's had as long of the reigns that he's had, he's still, his matches are so consistently great on the big stage that him as the champion is always interesting to me. Of course, Tanahashi, same kind of thing. Even though he's held the belt as many times as he has, I still am more interested in seeing that than Evil holding the belt. But we'll see what happens. I mean, at the absolute very least, it has people interested for the time being in seeing Evil as a champion and finding out what this all looks like and all this power that the Bullet Club now has, which is very interesting. Because the Bullet Club was super, super popular worldwide, really, before most of those members went off and basically created AEW and branched off to do other things as well. And now it looks like they're really trying to position Bullet Club as like a pow like the powerhouse stable in New Japan again. And it's strange, but I really do like the dynamics of the factions there in this context too, because at any point, it feels like the power can shift from one faction to another. Like Chaos will have, most of the power, and then, Bullet Club will, and it's the way that it shifts and where the titles go and all that. I really, really like that dynamic that New Japan does. And right now, with Evil being the double champ, I mean, at the once again, I said I'm not the biggest Evil fan. I'm really not. But at the same time, I am interested to see what they do here with this. And I am bummed out for Naito because it feels like every time he gets to the top spot, something like this happens. I saw somebody on Twitter. I wish I had his username, which I can give him the full credit. But somebody tweeted something along the lines of comparing Naito to Dolph Ziggler, and I thought it was pretty accurate. Like, I mean, in certain ways, Naito has had the title longer than Ziggler ever held any of his world titles. But at the same time, Naito has just kind of been like the fan favorite, even as a heel, who consistently has great matches. Finally, won the big one at basically their WrestleMania at Wrestle Kingdom, and now he lost to Evil, who has never won the title before. And yeah, interesting spot for Naito. Maybe there's another story in him reclaiming the belt. But I feel like we've already watched that a few times with him. So I'm very interested to see what happens next. But those were the results for New Japan's Dominion, as well as the, of course, the New Japan Cup Finals that led into Dominion. Up next, I have results for Impact Wrestling. The show started off with Kylie Rae and Susie defeating the team of Taya Valkyrie and Rosemary. The finish came when Kylie hit her smile submission on Taya. Really good stuff for Kylie here. Taya Valkyrie obviously has been positioned as one of the top female stars for a long time now. Her title reign was she had a great title reign with the Knockouts Championship. Personally, I think that Jordynne Grace is the right choice right now, and I think that she totally deserves it. And I think she was the right person to defeat Taya for the belt as well. So I love that Jordynne Grace is the champion. But Taya Valkyrie doing a good job still being really relevant, and Kylie Rae getting the submission on her looks really good for Kylie Rae, who they're obviously building as well right now. After that, we had the Deaners defeating the team Triple XL, Fall Out Boy, TJP, and Reno Scum. The finish came when Cousin Jake, hit Larry with a spinning uranage, which I love because I'm a huge fan of Cousin Jake, aka Jake Something from the Indies. And I want to see him keep getting wins. I'm all about it. The Deaners, it's good to see them win this cousin Cody. Cody Deaner, that is. He recently came back. So to see the Deaners get this win over these teams that have been doing a lot of great tag team work, in the interim while the Deaners have been gone. Really great to see the Deaners get the win here. And like I said, I'm a huge fan of Cousin Jake. I think they could be doing a lot with him as a singles wrestler as well, and I do hope that at some point in the near future he drops the cousin Jake thing with Cody Deaner and does his own thing. But for now, at least he's getting a lot of good airtime on TV, which I am happy about. Speaking of Jordynne Grace from earlier, she defeats Kimberly with the Grace Driver for the 1-2-3. Good stuff here. Two great female performers. What can you really say? It's wild that we're finally getting this kind of stuff in Impact Wrestling on this kind of stage as well, because obviously the two of them had very large indie followings. Up next, Willie Mack defeats Suicide, who was actually Johnny Swinger in the Suicide costume. Got the win with a stunner for the 1-2-3. I'm all about seeing that. Willie Mack over Suicide and/or slash Johnny Swinger, whatever. All about it. Keep pushing Willie Mack. Willie Mack should beat everybody. Willie Mack should keep being an awesome X Division champion, and Willie Mack should eventually be the Impact World Champion, in my opinion. And in the main event, Sami Callihan defeats Josh Alexander after hitting a pile driver for the 1-2-3. I really like this. Made Josh Alexander look great hanging in there and having a great match against Sami Callihan, who's been positioned as obviously he was a longtime world champion for them. Multiple time champion, I believe, and many, many main events for Impact Wrestling in the past few years. And Josh Alexander, I think, has been doing incredible work. His tag team, The North, with Ethan Page, I think, is one of, if not the best tag teams in the world right now. Not just in, I think they're easy, I shouldn't say easily, because there's some good tag teams in TNA, or in Impact Wrestling, I should say, But I really, it, to me, it's not even a question. I think that Josh Alexander and Ethan Page are the best tag team in Impact. And I would put them right up there with any tag team in the world for any company right now. I really think they do really great work. And after the match, Sami Callihan is clearly upset that Ken Shamrock had helped him during the match to get that win. So yeah, and they're building towards Sami Callihan and Ken Shamrock versus the North for the tag team titles, which I am very much looking forward to. I think it's going to be a really I think it could be a really great match. I think there's still, some limitations with what Ken Shamrock can and can't do. And Sami Callihan is a guy who I always classify as someone who over-delivers, in my opinion. He's someone where, and this is a perfect example, a match of his that I'm not super looking forward to him personally, like watching him personally. But by the end of the match, I'll probably be like, damn, Sami Callihan pulled it off again, had another great match. And yeah, him and Ken Shamrock is an interesting team. And like I said before, the North is fantastic. So I am very interested to see that tag team match when it happens. All right. Up next, we have 205 Live results. Show started off with Mansoor defeating Tahuti Miles. Finished him off with a pretty interesting move. It was like I don't know what they called it, if they had any name for it at all, but basically Mansoor, like, he was on the ring apron and springboarded into the ring and hit a reverse neck breaker on Miles to get the win. So Mansoor with a win over Miles on 205 Live. And then the only other match, which was also, of course, the main event, we had the 205 Live, or Cruiserweight Champion, I should say, Santos Escobar defeating Oney Lorcan. Another solid match, as you would expect from these two. Escobar got the win with the Phantom Driver. And it's always funny to me with that move, that specific move, the Phantom Driver. We've seen that with so many other wrestlers in history. Most recently, the one that comes to mind is Gran Metalik. He was doing the Gran Metalik Driver, which is the same exact move. And what that's what kind of what the WWE does with this move. It's just like, all right, just give it to somebody, and we'll just say, basically something about them or their name, and just put driver at the end, and they'll use this. So, I also remember one time hilariously that Gran Metalik did that move and accidentally pulled his own mask off when like he brought the dude from like around, like from his shoulders over his head down to the ground with the driver. Somehow the guy got caught on his mask and it took Gran Metalik's mask straight off, which I just thought was hilarious. But either way, that's that. Escobar wins again, as he should, as the champion. Legado del Fantasma is becoming more and more of a force. The team of Escobar, Wild, and Mendoza. So, I mean, I like it. Solid hour of wrestling, two good matches. Can't really ask for anything more than that. So that was the results for 205 Live this week. And lastly, I have the recap for the latest Being the Elite episode titled Have a Good Summer. Show starts off with Matt and Nick Jackson at an airport. They're trying to get Chili's at the airport and they're closed. And Matt's talking about how he wants his baby back ribs, which is a playoff of them doing the acapella to that song from the old commercials in the last BTE episode. And then we see the Young Bucks in Jacksonville and they're talking about COVID testing in Florida. Matt Jackson is working out in the ring. He's talking to Private Party, and Private Party is basically saying that they noticed that Matt's ribs are injured, and Matt basically like goes to shake one of their hands, and as they're trying to leave, he does the old Flip Gordon, where do you think you're going? Which I really like seeing that come back. And then Nick says that he's dead ass, and like the lightning strikes, and Private Party just runs out of the ring. After that, we see Reynolds and Silver trying to recruit that fortune teller guy. I can never remember that guy's name. They're trying to get him to drink the Kool-Aid. We see Matt and Nick Jackson talking to Brandon Cutler, Peter Avalon, and Leva Bates. And they're basically asking them a bunch of questions. It's similar to the Kickout Challenge, but it's just the Young Bucks asking them like rapid fire questions and getting the results from Cutler and Avalon and Bates, which was actually really funny. At the very end of it, Avalon talks about a scenario where he steals the win from Cutler and that makes Cutler mad. keeps talking about how he's the worst partner. So while I'm still not a huge fan of this tag team, it is at least it gives the two guys something to do. But it's like best case scenario, they eventually win a match, and then what? Unless they go on like some winning streak, I guess that could be fun maybe. Otherwise, it's almost like the Hawkins thing with like the losing streak. Like it becomes more and more fun, like kind of the longer it goes, but then at some point it has to end. And when it does, what does that lead to? And that's what I'm concerned about. After that, we see Colt Cabana walking around backstage, and he's going to go mess around with Kenny Omega for a BTE skit because he wants to get Being the Elite more ratings, as he tells the Young Bucks. The Young Bucks stop him, and they're basically teasing that Kenny is in cleaner mode, and he might become the cleaner again. And they actually give a nod to the Reddit forums, who all are speculating that Kenny is going to become the cleaner again, and all of this information really scares Colt away. Hangman Page is talking to the Young Bucks and wants a Christian AF shirt because he thinks it's like edgy and fun. Nick says that Christian AF actually stands for Christian Always Forever, and then Matt's like, no, it's Christian Amen Father. No, it's actually Christian Always Friends. No, it was Christian Awesome Feelings. And then Matt's like, yeah, I think it was just Christian Always Forever, the first one. And then Hangman says, you guys are dumb as fuck, which I thought was really funny. Because obviously the AF is as fuck. And yeah, so there you go. Funny stuff. After that, we get more of Reynolds and Silver, who are bringing the Kool-Aid to the best friends, Trent, Chuck, and Orange Cassidy. It actually turns out that Trent's mom is wearing a Dark Order mask and drinking the Kool-Aid. And basically, Trent and Chuck take Trent's mom away from the Dark Order, and Orange Cassidy slowly pushes the cup of Kool-Aid off the table again, like he did last week, which is really great stuff. After that, we see Kaz walking around and talking in a southern accent again. Sounds more and more like Jim Cornette the more I listen to it, but if it's a deity, like they've been hinting with like Matt Hardy like passing him a deity, I don't know how it could be Jim Cornette since he's very much alive still, but I don't know. I'm not sure who exactly he's mocking or what the joke is. It's still hard to tell, and I like that they're acknowledging on Being the Elite that it's hard to tell because people are speculating what Kaz is, who has taken over for Kaz's body or whatever. After that, Christopher Daniels is talking to the Young Bucks about it, and then Nick does a Merch Freak skit, and he's in a room with Matt Hardy, and he basically does a whole bunch of stuff that turns Matt Hardy into all of his different personas, which is really interesting. We see like Big Money Matt, Old School Matt Hardy, Broken Matt, Version 1, whole bunch of different stuff from Matt Hardy here. After that, we see Nick, or sorry, we see like Kenny Omega in a room with the rest of the Elite, and Kenny says he was a dick for pouring out the beer that FTR gave him. Basically, Kenny and Hangman are talking about it, and the Young Bucks are also in the room. Kenny says he wants to patch things up with FTR, especially because FTR clearly, he's getting along with the Young Bucks and he's getting along with Hangman. So Kenny feels like they should all just get along, hang out. Kenny leaves the room, and then Hangman tells the Young Bucks that things between himself and Kenny Omega aren't good, but they're better than they were. And Hangman, kind of in like a really serious way, tells him that he knows that he owes his career to the Young Bucks, and he'll keep playing around and doing these Being the Elite skits and stuff, but he just really doesn't like doing that kind of stuff anymore. And that's how it ends. So, very interesting stuff. A lot of good stuff this week on The Weekender. A lot of good wrestling and a lot of surprises. So, good week. That's going to do it for this episode of the Fightful Select Weekender Podcast. I've been Steven Jensen. Shoot me a follow on Twitter at FightTalk _. That's FightTalk_. Until next weekend, enjoy some professional wrestling.